the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And tonight I want us to look at just one verse as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. I've entitled this message, The Greatest Love in the Universe. This is a verse no doubt many of us have committed to memory, a verse no doubt many of us memorized as a child, as a young person, a verse that has long captured our hearts. And tonight I want us to look at this epic verse. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is a signature passage of Scripture that describes for us the love of God. How different is the love of God? We love people who are attractive to us. We are drawn to people who are kind to us. It is easy for us to love people who are near and close to us, who are like us and who like us, but not God. God loves people who, because of sin, are very unattractive to Him. People who are offensive to Him, and people who are hardened toward Him. This is what makes God's love so amazing and so unusual and so unlike our love. And what we read here should be a marvel to our hearts and our souls, because very personally, it's not just that God loves sinners, but that God loves me. Here is the greatest love in all the universe, and I want us to consider it tonight. I want us to consider this verse under four headings. I want you to think with me tonight who it is that loves us, and I want you to consider when He loved us, and how He loved us, and why He loved us. First, I want you to see who it is who loves us. Who loves us? Notice how verse 8 begins. But God. God demonstrates His own love toward us. It is God who loves us. This infinite God of heaven and earth. The God who has existed throughout all the ages past. The God who created all that there is. The God of the universe, of the galaxies, of the planets, of the stars and the earth. The God who has created every one of us in His own image. The God who hung the planets. The God who flung out the stars, and the God who strung the moon. The God who heaped up the mountains and filled the seas and stretched out the rivers in the field. This great, awesome, holy, righteous God loves you and me tonight. As if there is no one else in the entire universe to love. He has focused the entirety of His love on each and every one of us in Christ. We are the sole object of His love. This God loves us. He cares for us. He feels for us. He loves us. And because God is infinite, meaning He is without limits, He is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. So therefore, so is His love without limits. It is an infinite love. We can never come to the end of the love of this God for us. His love is as exhaustive and as limitless as He is. It is a love beyond comprehension. It is a love beyond calculation. It is a love beyond comparison. I want you to consider again tonight, my friend, that it is not your neighbor who loves you. It is not your wife who loves you. It is not your friend who loves you. It is the infinite, awesome, magnificent God of heaven and earth. God who has always been, God who is, and God who shall be forever and ever, and He has focused His love upon you. This is who loves us. Second, I want you to consider when God loved us. I see in verse 8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, this is when God loved us. He loved us long before we loved Him. He loved us while we were unlovely, did He not? He loved us when we were offensive. In fact, verse 6 says, He loved us when we were ungodly. And verse 10 tells us that He loved us when we were His enemies. God loved us long before we were ever looking for Him. Long before we ever came to Him. Long before we ever responded to Him. God loved us. 1 John 4, verse 10 says, And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And in 1 John 4, 19, we hear, We love because He first loved us. He is the great initiator. He is the great pursuer of this relationship. He loved us long before we ever knew Him or loved Him. I want to tell you that God loved you long before you ever even thought about loving Him. He loved you while you were rebellious toward Him. He loved you while you were going your own way. He loved you while you were in unbelief and were indifferent toward Him. In fact, He loved you before you were even born. This is what God said to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1, verse 5, Before I formed you in the womb, I what? I knew you. That means I loved you. And I set my heart upon you and my affection upon you. I singled you out to be the object of my love. And my friend, it is true for us who are here in Christ tonight that before we were even born, before we came forth from our mother's womb, God set His heart upon us. But it goes back before that. Before we were even born, God loved us 2,000 years ago at the cross in the sending of His Son to die for us. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him might not perish but have everlasting life. God set this love in motion 2 millenniums ago in the sending of His Son into this world to die for us upon the cross. But I want you to know it goes back further than that. Before you were born, before the cross, before the foundation of the world, God loved us. Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. This love of God began when He first thought of us, when He first set His heart upon us. In Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5, it says that He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Now listen to this. In love, He predestined us unto the adoption as sons. My friend, this is one of the great love doctrines of the entire Bible. That God chose us and God predestined us before the foundation of the world. It was in love that God set this in motion toward us long before time began. When did God love us? God loved us when we were yet sinners. And oh, how great this love is. Notice, if you would, third, how God loved us. Not just when, but how God loved us. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is how God has loved us. Not with mere words, not in mere tongue, not with simply feelings. God has demonstrated His love toward us. God has acted to prove His love toward us. God has set His love on display in no uncertain terms by giving to us the greatest gift of all, the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. God demonstrated His own love toward us. He did not merely say it. He did not merely feel it. God demonstrated it. The Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 10, He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It is the love of God that sent His Son into this world for us. And in 1 John 4, verse 9, we read, By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. You see, true love requires there to be action. It is love in action. And the measure of anyone's love is sacrificial giving. And God has made the greatest demonstration of love to us in that He has given His Son to die for us. Romans 8, verse 32 says the same, He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all. Don't ever get the idea that the love of God is simply restricted to the Son and that God the Father is a God of wrath, but the Son had to save us from the wrath of the Father. He has done that, but it is the love of the Father for us that has sent the Son into this world to die for us. He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all. God's love is a giving love. He has given to us the greatest gift of all, His Son, His only Son, His only begotten Son. And the measure of His love is found in the value of His Son, Jesus Christ. The measure of anyone's love is found specifically in the sacrificial giving that seeks the highest good in that person. I want you to know tonight that no love can ever be given, no greater love can ever be given toward us, because no greater sacrifice and no greater gift has ever been demonstrated towards you than when God gave His Son for us. Well, finally, I want you to see why God loved us. In verse 8, why God loves us. We read, But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's interesting, this verse really does not tell us why He loved us, and perhaps that is intentional, because there really is no reason for God to love us except for that reason to lie in Himself. There was nothing within us that would draw His love toward us. Martin Luther said, God does not love us because we're valuable. We are valuable because God loves us. You see, God loved us while we were sinners, while we were enemies. God loved us, and that reason, therefore, had to lie not in us, but in God. The cause for His love is found in Himself. It arose from within Him. Quite frankly, God has loved us because He has chosen to love us. A.W. Pink writes, The love of God is uninfluenced. By this we mean there was nothing whatever in the objects of His love to call it into exercise. Nothing in the creature to attract or prompt it. The love which one creature has for another is because something in the object. But the love of God is free, spontaneous, uncaused. God did not love us because we loved Him, but He loved us before we had a particle of love for Him. Had God loved us in return for ours, then it would not be spontaneous on His part. But because He loved us when we were loveless, it is clear that His love was uninfluenced. It is highly important, if God is to be honored and the heart of His child established, that we should be quite clear upon this precious truth. God's love for me and for each of His own was entirely unmoved by anything in us. What was there in me to attract the heart of God? Pink answers, absolutely nothing. But to the contrary, there was everything to repel Him. Everything calculated to make Him loathe me. Sinful, depraved, a mass of corruption with no good thing in me. Unquote. Let us not forget that. It's not that that we were so inherently attractive to God that we drew His attention, that God saw something in us that drew His heart to us. No, this love of God for us originated within Himself. God has loved us because He has chosen to love us, and His love is free, it is spontaneous, and it is uninfluenced. Bless His name. Therefore, He shall love us throughout all the centuries and the ages to come. There, now that He has set His love upon me that was uncaused, there is nothing that shall ever come within me that shall turn His love away. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7, the Lord did not set His love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples, but because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which He swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you up by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God has chosen to love us. And so tonight, as we come to the Lord's table, we are reminded of the great love of God toward us when we were helpless, when we were separated from God, when we were without hope or without help in this world, when we were alienated from God, when we were condemned by His law, when we were filthy and vile and depraved, when we were rebels and lawbreakers, when we were spiritually sick from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, when we were impotent to save ourselves, when we were hellbound on the broad road headed for destruction, when there was nothing lovely within us, God intervened and God has chosen to love us, and He has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior upon the cross. And what the cross is the greatest expression of the love of God that will ever be demonstrated toward us. How could we ever question the love of God toward us? How could we ever wallow down in a pity party and ever wonder or question if God loves me? God has demonstrated His love toward us unquestionably throughout all the ages to come by giving to us His Son to be the Redeemer of His people and the Savior of our sins. Bless His name. And so as we come tonight to the Lord's table, may we look to the Lord who has given of His Son. I want to remind you, no one loves you like He loves you. No one cares for your soul like He cares for your soul. Every one of us here tonight need to look to Him for everything, right? He has given to us the greatest gift of all, His Son, Jesus Christ. How much more now should we look to Him day by day, moment by moment, for everything that we need in life? How we need to listen to Him. How we need to follow that still quiet voice. How we need to listen for the voice of the shepherd and follow Him every moment of every day. Listen, we can trust Him. He has done for us the greatest thing of all. And now that He has saved us, He will only do us good. He will only lead us into the very center of His will. And His will is good and acceptable and perfect. Look to Him. Listen to Him. Live for Him. There is no other response that should come from our hearts and souls tonight than to live for Him. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. No matter what He should ever call upon my life to do, no matter where He will ever send me, no matter what He will ever require of me, knowing what He has done for me in giving His Son to die for my sins, I can never repay that debt of love that He has demonstrated towards me. And for the rest of my life, no sacrifice is too great. No act of obedience is too much. No service that I can ever render to Him would ever be out of proportion. It will all shrink in comparison to the magnitude of God's love for me. No wonder Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3, "Oh, that we would know what is the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of the love of God toward us." And all God's people said, Amen. Let us prepare our hearts now as we come to the Lord's table, as we think of this gift which has been provided for us 2,000 years ago, planned in eternity past, made real in our hearts by the Holy Spirit in the day of our new birth. Let us humbly come before our God, and as we now prepare to take the Lord's Supper, let us consecrate our hearts to God. Let us love Him with all of our heart and all of our soul, all of our mind and all of our being. Father, as we now come to this, the Lord's Supper, we understand that we step onto holy ground. You have done so much for us. You have done everything for us. We deserve hell. You have given to us eternal life that has been paid at such enormous price for us. Cause our hearts tonight to not be callous towards this. Cause our hearts to be stirred up afresh tonight. And may this great truth grip us tonight, that You love us and have given Your Son to die for us. May we spend all of the rest of our days looking to You, listening to You, and living for You, God, in response to this great love. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.